Good morning. Good morning.
Okay, next week is Shoebox Day. If you're participating in that, you need to have it here at church next Sunday. I'll load them up, take them to the drop-off place on Monday. But have a short video clip on this, the shoebox thing, and then followed by another short one. Try not to do too many at once here, but on veterans. So, Bob, you might need to tweak the sound here.
My name is Ekaterina Hazelden, and I'm from the former Soviet Union. I grew up in a poor and dysfunctional family. After my father went to prison, my mother left and she never came back. My sister and I, we were left to fend for ourselves. We kept wandering the streets until we were put into an orphanage. Some orphanages were nice, others teachers were mentally and physically abusive. In the year of 2000, missionaries began to enter my orphanage. They told us how I can pray to God anytime and He would hear me. And one of those missionaries was Operation Christmas Child. I still remember the day I received my shoebox. It was a beautiful sunny day. As I began to open my shoebox, I discovered a coloring book and markers. I was 12 years old and I was just so excited about those items because I love to color. I began to hope for a family that would come and take me in as their own into their family. Years went by and no one seemed to be interested. I began to give up on God. Until one day, a social worker called me over and said, "Girls, I don't know how, but both of you are getting adopted and you are going to America." In that moment, I knew with God, all things are possible. God not only blessed me with good Christian parents, but He also blessed me with loving husband, two children, and we enjoy packing shoeboxes as a family. Those simple shoeboxes bring so much hope and joy to the children around the world like me, in Jesus' mighty name.
A life impacted by the shoeboxes. I trust you take that to heart and put one of them together. And it's not just what's in it. They put tracks, other things in the language wherever it goes. They have teachers that come in and share Christ with the kids as they're getting their boxes. And so they're exposed to the gospel. All right, a short video clip here for in remembrance of our veterans. Thank you.
There's one simple vision hack anyone can use to improve vision. So you can say goodbye to your optometrist. Did you know that visual impairments have nothing to do with your eyes?
Yeah.
The eyes are simply a...
Now you got your vision hack for the day. All right, we're going to sing some courses here in a minute. So if we can get that one up. We'll not ask you to give us the history of where all you were at, but maybe could we have the veteran stand and just tell us what branch of the service you were in? Come on. We know who you are. You just kind of want to go around, tell us what you're telling us with your tie.
Amen. I spent 6 years with the U.S. Navy, 2 years active and 4 years in the reserves. My time was spent in the Mediterranean, home ported in Naples, Italy, resupplying the 6th Fleet. A great adventure. At the time, you don't appreciate it when you're 18. But looking back, it was a real blessing to go through what I went through and to grow. I left as a boy and came back as a man. So you had no other choice.
Yeah, that's right.
So it was a blessing to serve this country. And then, of course, I worked for the federal government for another 39 years. So I'm all in for the federals.
All right. Mike?
Just the U.S. Navy and, Asia. I was stationed in San Diego, Japan. Like, it was like kind of I grew up as a man. When I was out of the Navy, I was a man by the time I got out.
All right.
I was in the United States Army from 1965 to 68. I spent some time in Vietnam. I just thank God that it brought me back home.
Amen. U.S. Army, Afghanistan, 2009.
Keith.
It was a surprise this morning. Somebody asked me, were you really in the Navy? Yeah, I was in the Navy for 6 years active and 10.5 years reserve.
Wow.
And I had the good part. I never got my feet wet. I never never was aboard a ship. We flew across the along the Pacific coast and the Atlantic coast and in the Med. It was a lot of fun. Thank you all for the paycheck every 2 weeks.
Yeah, Air Force. We used to have more Air Force guys, but they flew off. So, so now Navy's kind of taken over. So, yes.
Yes, it was on TV this morning that this administration is going to pay all medical bills for anybody that was in World War II. So if you're related to that, it's worth checking into.
Yeah, I think that's... No, they're 80 years old now, so yeah.
Or more. Yeah,
Nineties. Okay.
I just wanted to say that I served the veterans for 12 years at the Milwaukee VA as well.
All right, great.
I honor all of you because I've seen what you've gone through.
Yeah.
There's a lot that they've gone through.
Yeah.
A lot.
Some of them a lot more than others.
Yeah.
I think I got off real easy, but. He's always telling me that the Air Force, it's all easy anyway. So. But now we know you didn't get your feet wet, so. All right. Well, I hate to rush on, but we're going to sing some songs here today. And we're going to be talking about the Good Shepherd. And so, but first we have one song that kind of relates to the veterans. And Tyler's going to come and
and lead us in that one. 575, Eternal Father, strong to serve. Strong to save. Sorry about that. 575. All right, morning, everyone. If you want to stand up, we'll sing 575, Eternal Father, strong to save. And we'll sing all four verses.
Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm hath bound the restless wave, who bids the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril by the sea. Oh, Christ, the Lord of hill and plain, o'er which our traffic runs amain, by mountains past or valley low, wherever, Lord, our brethren go, protect them by thy guarding hand from every peril on the land. O Spirit, whom the Father sent to spread abroad the firmament, O wind of heaven, by thy heart, save all who dare the eagles fly, and keep them by thy watchful care from every peril in the air. O Trinity of love and power, our brethren shield in danger's hour, the rock and tempest, fire and foe, protect them wheresoe'er they go. Thus evermore shall rise to thee glad praise from
And then we'll turn over to 461, He Leadeth Me. We'll sing all three verses.
Still tis God's hand that leadeth me.
singing. You may be seated. All right, just a couple of choruses here.
Don't be afraid. To mention before we sang this song, I've got to switch all these things in my head, but we're talking about the Good Shepherd, and one of the things about the sheep is that they're very fearful. You know, one of the things, they won't even drink water that's moving fast. It's got to be still water before they'll even drink. So, and we're the sheep, folks, and so you may not be afraid right this moment, but sometime this week, probably. All right. Well, we got one more here. Lord, I need you. Shall we stand for this one?
Thank you.
good job. Why don't you greet those around you? Solos are coming. All right. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking here today at John chapter 10. And we're going to look about the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for each one here. We do pray that you'll help us to focus in on your word today, that we can find help and hope and encouragement, and as we stop to think about who you are and what you do for us. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we had our Thanksgiving dinner here last week, and lots of good food and fellowship, and I'm satisfied there were probably a lot more that could be have been said about things that you're thankful for. We still got Thanksgiving coming up. And I think this kind of fits right in there with it as we stop and think about the Good Shepherd. You know, it's awful easy to kind of take what the Lord does for us for granted. And yet he's constantly on duty looking after us. And John uses a number of different images in Scripture. And one I think that can be meaningful to all of us is this matter of a shepherd. And somebody pointed out, like a shepherd, he's concerned with our welfare. He loves us. He loves his sheep. And that Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. He didn't call himself King Jesus. He didn't call himself President Jesus. He didn't call himself Commissioner Jesus or Mayor or doctor, a deacon, a reverend, any other title that might be out there. But he called himself a shepherd, and one who is a servant, a caretaker, a watchman, someone that protects the sheep. And so he calls himself a shepherd. And we see here that kind of ought to stand out in our minds. Whether we realize it or not, we need a shepherd. We need a good shepherd. And, you know, sometimes we take the protection that's available to us kind of for granted. You know, we think, well, the police are out there. The firemen are on duty. Everybody's ring doorbell is on and seeing protecting us. But we need a shepherd that will go with us down the highways and byways of life, whether on an airplane or on a ship or wherever we might be at. But Then we'd also look at the sheep. And that's not quite as exciting because they're often referred to as dumb sheep and stubborn. When you see them at the fair, they've usually been slicked up. They've been washed down and dried and blow dried. And they don't look like the average sheep out in the field somewhere. They're seen as dirty and easily frightened. They need guidance. They need protection. And again, it doesn't sound real complimentary when we stop again to remind ourselves that we are like the sheep. And so we could be described in similar terms, you know, as the Lord looks at us. And but we have a good shepherd. And we want to notice some things about the shepherd here. And we see here that he is the good shepherd. And he's constantly looking after his sheep, and which we can be thankful for. We see here that as the good shepherd, he offers leadership as we stop and think about what the shepherd does. And we all need leadership in our lives. Little bit of review as we saw before. The shepherd leads the sheep. He's the one who's out front. He's not driving them. They're following his footsteps. And he doesn't prod us. He's not got the little electric shock thing that to keep us moving along. He wants us to follow him. He's the one who goes ahead of us. And good thing about it is, you know, sometimes, I don't know, people drive differently. Some people, they're going to be you get down on Interstate 80. You know, and I just get behind a truck and stay there for the next X number of 100 miles, you know, kind of draft behind them, let them pull you along. other ones like that, I want to see what's out there ahead of me, you know, I want to be out where I can see what's going on. Well, the thing is, Jesus is out there ahead of us. He knows what's ahead. We may not, but we can follow him. And we can trust him because he's out ahead of us. He can see what we can't see. He knows what's coming, all right? He knows what's already there. And he can help me to avoid dangerous places that are out there ahead of us. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, there's other kinds of leaders out there, all right? And that verse tells us, says, blind leaders of the blind. And if blind leaders lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So you want to make sure who you're following. You know, it's like, again, out on the road, if it's snowing really hard and you're just following the guy's taillights ahead of you, that might not be a good thing because he might dive for the ditch and not intentionally, but and you go right in after him. And there were blind leaders in Christ's day. They weren't necessarily physically blind, but spiritually they were blind. They were leading them astray. They were leading them away from Christ, as we've seen. And Christ is going to lead us in the right direction. He'll never lead us astray. And he's going to, as a shepherd would, he's going to lead the sheep to green pastures. Where we can feed our souls and be spiritually healthy. And we don't have to fear that he's going to lead us in the wrong direction. And there are some, though, that are. Some sat at home today, staring at their computer screen, following somebody else out there. Okay, not that everything's bad out there, but, you know, I'll just kind of leave it at that. Or the TV preacher, you know, and they're not all bad either. There's some good ones out there. But don't let that become your substitute church. Church means an assembly of born-again believers. And there's not an assembly there in your living room staring at the screen, okay? That's not what God intended. But we need to listen for his direction. As we pray, as we read God's word, give us understanding about who he is, what he is, and then obedience. He gives us commands as well as suggestions along the way. We can follow with confidence. He's never going to lead us off a cliff somewhere, okay? And he's never going to lead us contrary to God's word. And if you find yourself seemingly going in the wrong direction, guess who moved? Yeah, it isn't Christ that changed his mind somewhere along the way and leading you astray. It's because we're not following the direction he's leading us. And we've wandered off on our own, kind of like the sheep do. And we need to follow his voice. We need to follow his word. And in doing so, we'll enjoy the benefits. Just like the shepherd knows where the green grass is at, he's going to take us to the right spot. And the Lord's going to lead us in the right direction too. He knows that we need something to drink. He knows we need something to eat physically, but for the sheep. But he also is able to watch over and care for us while we're doing that. And as we follow his voice, we'll get the benefits of following the good shepherd. And we see here too that he offers an abundant life. He says there in John 10:10, he says, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So God wants us to have an abundant life. He provides access to abundant life, okay? God's storehouses are full. You know, every once in a while you'll look at something, you're going through the grocery store and they're out of this or out of that. You know, there was all kinds of shortages back here a year or two ago. God's storehouses aren't got empty shelves in them, right? God knows what we have need of. And you stop and think about why sometimes people, and there's different reasons, but sometimes people choose not to become a Christian. You know, why wouldn't you want to become a Christian? And in the past, I've heard different people say, well, there are things that I don't want to give up. And thing is, God's not, it's like, okay, I become a Christian, I'm not going to have any fun anymore. You know, I was talking to Mike here this morning. I was telling him, how are you doing? I said, well, I got a headache today, all right? But that headache isn't because I was out terrorizing the neighborhood last night, okay? But some people think, well, I went out and had a good time, and then they feel like death warmed over the next day. They tend to remember the good stuff and forget the rest and what they're doing to their bodies in the meantime. But God's not in the business of just trying to take the fun out of life, because he knows where that fun leads. We're studying in David's life on Wednesday nights. And one of the things we're talking about is when our faith fails. And sometimes we don't think about the circumstances, where it's going to lead us. Well, David made some choices and it ended up causing the death of 85 priests. He didn't think, he ahead of time didn't realize that was what the consequences were going to be, but that's where the consequences went. And sometimes we don't think too far ahead either. We're not thinking about what are the consequences of my actions. And so he wants us to have an abundant life. Well, what does that mean? You know, you become a Christian, God's going to send you a blank check, you know, with his name at the bottom, and you just fill in the blank, or a credit card with unlimited funds available? No, but we get a savior that money can't buy. And the thing is, there's no expiration date. You look at your credit card, they all want that. You know, what's the expiration date? What's the little code and all the rest of that stuff? God's doesn't expire, his care for us. It's going to last through this life. And as we're studying in Sunday school, we touched upon the millennium, thousand-year rule and reign of Christ. And then it's going to last for eternity. And so he's there for us. And he's made promises. You know, what do we... This next year is going to be interesting with all, well, maybe not so much, with the political scene, and you get all the politicians and what all they're going to do, you know, all kinds of promises, chicken in every pot and all the rest of that stuff. Notice they're not putting hamburger or steak, that costs more, we'll go with a chicken. No, but, you know, God's given us promises that he follows through with. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Anybody else out there going to strengthen you? All right. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's made those promises. God will fulfill those. And so he offers us an abundant life. We see, too, that he offers his love towards us. And we see a picture again of the great shepherd, the good shepherd, and he invites us to come to him because he loves us. He loved us enough to lay his life down for us. And the life of a shepherd wasn't an easy one. beside keeping track of all the sheep, you know, sometimes you do that with your kids. It's like, all right, where are they all? They're like cats, you know, they're just every which direction, you know. Get in the car, we count heads, make sure we got everybody. But keeping track of the sheep, that was a challenge. But he's also responsible to find food and water. You know, he didn't have a little airplane in the sky or whatever to tell him over the next hill there's nice green pastures or there's water. He had to know some of this stuff. Adequate nourishment, they were needed. And he also had to protect them in the process. As we mentioned, they're very fearful animals. They fear fast running water. Even if they're thirsty, they won't drink. And that's why David talks about there in Psalm 23, leading them by the still waters where they could get the nourishment. There's also the issue of diseases and exposure to the elements and the robbers out there stealing the sheep and the wolves or whatever else that want a juicy lamb chop, okay? Excuse me, go ahead. I don't know, can you drown a frog? We'll try. But the good shepherd, he loves his sheep. He gives his life for them. And we see here, too, the good shepherd has made commitments. We see there, look at verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we see here, he's the good shepherd. And he's willing to lay his life down for the sheep. That's kind of a twist when you stop and think about it. Here's these sheep. They're being raised around Jerusalem, ultimately to become one of the sacrifices there at the temple. And here we've got the shepherd who's willing to sacrifice himself for the sheep that were ultimately going to be sacrificed. And while many shepherds out there may have loved their flocks, only the good shepherd is able to make that supreme sacrifice for them if necessary. And it was. He laid down his life for us. And he was able to bear the sting of death for us, for his sheep. Found a little illustration that talked about that. Excuse me. Said a little boy and his father were driving down a country road and a beautiful day, had the windows open, bumblebee comes in. And little boy, he's just petrified because he's allergic to bee stings. And the father reaches out, grabs hold of the bee, and squeezes it in his hand, and then he lets it go. And the bee's flying around, and the kid's, again, kind of going ballistic, you know, Dad, you know, I'm going to get... And Dad reaches over and shows him his hand. There in the hand is the stinger from the bee. He says, see, I took the sting for you. You don't have to worry about the bee anymore. And that's what Christ did. He took the sting of death for us. He died, but he rose again. And folks, if we die in this life as a believer, we're going to rise again. And we're going to spend eternity with him. And so it's worth noting that other religious leaders, there's a lot of them out there through the ages, but we don't see them willing to lay their life down for their sheep, their followers. Well, because he was a good shepherd, he also was a good caretaker, okay? There's two kinds of caretakers, or shepherds, if you will. Contrast, and we see that in verse 12 and 13. There's the hired hand, okay? He's got no skin in the game. Those aren't his sheep. He's just getting paid so much a day or whatever the rate might be. He says there in verse 12, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. So again, the hired hand, he's got no investment. They're not his sheep. It's just a job, you know, and he takes care of them as long as everything's going well. But when the wolf attacks or whatever, he's heading down the road. He's looking out for old number one. And or the sheep that gets lost, well, yeah, that's the way it goes, you know. But there's the good shepherd. He's the owner of the sheep. And he's got a special relationship with those sheep. And back in Christ's day, people didn't have huge flocks. I mean, if anybody had 100 sheep, that was big. Most of them had something like 20 or 30, or 10 or 20 rather. And they were almost like pets. I mean, they named them. And there was nothing about the shepherd or the sheep that the shepherd didn't know about. And he's with them night and day, okay? And he's always there for them. And so it is the Lord Jesus. He's always there for us. There's nothing that's going on in our life that he doesn't know about. And he's caring for them. He lives among them. And thing is, Jesus, stop and think about it. Jesus left heaven. Left heaven to come to this earth, to live on this earth, to be, you know, grow up and to experience all the things that humans would experience, but then also ultimately to be abused and to be nailed upon a cross. He's experienced everything that we have, and yet without sin. Hebrews talks about it. He was tempted or tested in all points like we are, yet without sin. And so the good shepherd, he knows the quirks, the peculiar traits of humans, all right? And he watches over us and he loves us. He doesn't just know about us. You know, sometimes we say, oh, I know somebody. Well, you can recognize them. You know their name. Maybe they know you by name, or at least recognize you. But you really don't know that much about them. Well, Jesus knows everything about us. And again, because he's the good shepherd, he shows great courage. He's not like the hireling there in verse 12 and 13. He says there in verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. He's the one who, again, would lay his life down for the sheep. And the best thing we can do as sheep is to stay close to the shepherd, stay close to Jesus. Following him, following his voice. Again, if there's any distance, you know, you're feeling kind of separated from the Lord, it's not because he ran off and left you. It's because we've wandered off on our own. But as we're staying close to the Lord, we don't have to be worrying about Satan all the time picking us off. Again, the good shepherd's going to take care of him. And he's going to protect us. And he's, again, we have to stay close to him. But what if you have wandered off? Will he take us back? Yes, he will. And he still loves and cares for us. Again, there's no expiration on us. If we've truly trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we've been adopted. We've been brought into God's family. And nothing's ever going to change that. And as a parent, there are things maybe that your child does that, you know, you just assume they hadn't made that decision, right? But it doesn't change the fact that they're still your child, your daughter, your son, whatever. Those are the only two options, okay? But the people, there are people that wander away from the Lord. And I'm not pounding on anybody today, but sometimes people wander off. They wander away from church. You know, there's people, like I said, sitting at home today watching TV church or computer church or whatever. And I may say something to them from time to time. I don't hound them, but you'd be surprised some of the excuses I hear. And the thing is, as I think about it, it's like, okay, you're not responsible to me. You know, I'm not the judge and jury. But one day you're going to have to answer to the Lord Jesus, you know. And I'm not so sure he's going to buy into all those excuses that they're going to hold up much. And the thing is, we're the ones that end up being on the short end. You stop and think about it. You got the flock, and somebody, sheep wanders off on his own, doing his own thing. How safe and secure is that sheep? He's a setting duck for the wolves or whatever, Satan, you know. And again, they don't have the protection of the shepherd. You don't have, and not to say that the Lord can't watch over people when we're away from him, because he does. But we come up on the short end of things. We're missing out on the abundant life, the best that God has in store for us. And so we need to keep our eyes on the shepherd. And we call out to him in fear. Do you do that? All kinds of things. Just down to day-to-day life. And this might sound silly, but okay, so I'm an antique. You already knew that. But I've got Juno, and I don't want to change that because the whole world's got my Juno address, and I never, you know, businesses or what other people that would maybe sometime want to contact me, but it doesn't like sending on attachments. And I have a Gmail account, and I'll send it to Juno. And then because I don't want you starting to use the Gmail account, I try to send it out through Juno, and it won't work. And it won't work. And after about 10 times, it freezes. So then I click and I close it and I open it again, and sometimes it'll work. And so I'm saying, okay, Lord, I really like to send this out. Can you help me out? And sometimes it's the next one. It goes, you know. But, you know, he's there to help us with all little bitty stuff or great big things, all right? You know, he's not just 911, all right? Some of you are wondering about, why has he got, is he doing black fingernail polish now? No, that's a piece of black tape, because that was what was handy when my fingernail keep getting ripped up. But, you know, God, he's there to help us out with all kinds of stuff. And he's our good shepherd. And we call out to him, good times and bad. And he's there to help us out. Thing is, the Lord doesn't just have casual relationship with people. We're either one of his kids or we're not, okay? There's no in-between. And this, like a parent, you're either a parent and that's your child, or they're not. They're the neighbor kids. And you remember we saw here we saw that Christ was the door to the sheepfold, okay? We saw kind of a big picture, like if there were a number of shepherds, they would bring all their sheep in this one pen, and then they have somebody that watches them during the night. So the shepherds were kind of off duty for a little while, and they come back in the morning and claim their sheep, and away they go. Well, not everybody was able to do that. Sometimes they just had their own little pen for their own little sheep. And again, Jesus was the door. He brings in the sheep, gets them all inside the pen, and he's counting them, make sure we got them all here. And if there's some one that got scratched up, wounded, somehow got thorns or something, he's going to put some oil on there and bandage it up, take care of them, make sure they got water to drink, food to eat. And then he lays down in that open spot. Okay, nobody gets in, nobody gets out without the shepherd knowing about it. He's protecting us. And he's that door, as chapter 10, verse 7 tells us. We see, too, as a good shepherd, he has great knowledge. Notice, if you would, there, in verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and have known of mine, and the Father knoweth me, even so I, the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Thing is, he says, I know my sheep, okay? And they know me, all right? There's recognition here. And we see here again, there's commitment on the part of the shepherd. He knows the sheep. He's going to take care of those sheep throughout this life and on through eternity. He knows everything there is to know about us. And he knows the good, the bad, and the ugly, all right? And there's probably a little bit of all that in us. And he doesn't want us to be a know-it-all, okay? To be prideful and so on, but he knows it all, and he knows all about us. And he knows what we're like Monday through Saturday. Not just for a couple hours when you're sitting in the pews. And, you know, he still loves us. He wants to care for us. But, you know, sometimes we can fool people. But we can't fool God. He knows us. You know, sometimes we get talking about AI, you know, this artificial intelligence stuff. And that some people fear that. And they're probably for some good reasons. But the thing is, God's got AI, if you want to look at it like that. He knows it all. And nobody's going to fool him. And so when we're with Jesus, wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, he's there with us. And again, we can't pull the wool over God's eyes. So if you think you're fooling God somehow or another, you're mistaken. Well, we see here too that those bonds of love grow. He's the good shepherd. He provides all those things that a sheep have need of. And he's always going to keep us safe and secure. And that's what David was writing that 23rd Psalm about. Even in the presence of our enemies, okay, God's more powerful than anything else that's going to come along. Well, then we see here, too, that because he's the good shepherd, he has great power. Notice, if you would, verse 17, he says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Okay? Anybody else you know died and came back to life? All right? And we need to make sure we understand that. This is not just a good shepherd, not just a title, but it's an example. And the Father loved the Son because he was willing to die for the sheep. And that's the kind of shepherd that the Father was looking for. And John, there we see in verse 17 that the Father loves him because he's willing to lay his life down for the sheep. See, nobody took Jesus. Sometimes they talk about, you know, this group or that group took Jesus' life. Jesus gave his life. Right? Nobody took it from him. Yes, they nailed him on a cross. They put a spear in his side, but he died of his own will. And yes, they took him and they buried him
And 3 days later, he rose again. Now that's power, to come up out of that grave again. And thing is, that same power that Jesus had for his own life, he has that ability to use in your life and mine. Yes, someday, you know, we don't ever know when that's going to be. Our time may be up on this earth, and they lay us in a grave. But one of these days, that trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up to be with the Lord. That's power. He's able to give us life once again. And he invites us to follow him. And we see here, he's proved his love for us. He didn't just talk about it. He proved it in the fact that he was willing to lay his life down, to be that sacrifice for us. The wages of sin is death. We deserve to die because of our sin. And there's nothing we can do to get rid of it. The only thing that will take it away is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why he died there on the cross. He was our substitute. He died for us. And then his shed blood is able to cleanse away all of our sin. Not automatic. Jesus died, shed his blood, so everybody's cleansed. No, those who choose to trust him alone for salvation. And so he's provided that for us. And nobody can take that away from us. And the thing is, are you a part of God's flock today? Are you a part of God's family today? It's not because mom and dad were a Christian or they took you to church or whatever else, or you got a Bible with your name in it or something. No, it's because you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And that's what brings us into God's family. And nothing can ever change that. And so we've got a shepherd, a good shepherd, that loves us. And we think about throughout history and all those great leaders. We've been Sunday school class, we're looking at Daniel, and we saw some of the empires that had come and gone. And those great nations and great leaders. But most of those leaders were looking to have more power, and to expand their territory, and to have rule over others. And yet there was one that came, that willing to sacrifice. He had all the power that anybody could possibly have as the Son of God there in heaven. But he came to give himself that we might live, that we might not spend eternity in the lake of fire, that we might be able to spend eternity with him. And that he can enable us today to have power over sin and death in the grave. We can say no to sin. We don't always have to, well, you know, the old line that people use, the devil made me do it. No, you chose, okay, to do that. But we can say no to sin. It's been a long time ago since Nancy Reagan was in the White House. Remember when they used to have that on some of the school fences, say no to drugs? I think we need to put that back up there, all right? But we see here he loved us enough, even in our sinful state, to suffer on the cross, to die for us, that we might be able to have forgiveness of sins and to be possessors of that gift of eternal life. And so he wants us in the sheepfold. He wants us to be smart sheep and to follow the shepherd. The question is, have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? Again, I'm not saying that you go to church or you're a member of a church or this, that. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? And once we've made that decision, that we stay close to the shepherd, we stay close to the Lord Jesus, we do so by, just like anybody else we want to stay close with, we communicate with him. We talk to him in prayer. We let him speak to us through his word and through his Holy Spirit. And he promises to give us that abundant life that you can't find anywhere else. And he's going to watch over and protect us from all the potential evils and things that are out there yet today. And so we may not like being compared to dumb, dirty sheep, but we can be thankful that we have a good shepherd. And the good shepherd knows you. He knows who you are. He knows where you're going to spend eternity. Do you know the shepherd? Are you following the shepherd? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you that you've used an illustration here that we can, even though we're not farmers or ranchers and have a lot of exposure to sheep, we got a pretty good idea on what he's talking about here. We thank you that you've made provisions for all of our needs. In the past, present, future, you know what, where we're headed. And Lord, there's no expiration date on your watch care and your love for us. It doesn't just last through this lifetime and then we're on our own. No, it takes us through this life and on through eternity as one of your children. Lord, we pray if there be one here today that's never trusted Christ alone for salvation, that you would draw them to yourself. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for us to sing a closing hymn, number 56.
Number 56, Day by Day. Number 56. To find out, would you stand with me and we'll sing this in closing. We can talk with you, pray with you about some need in your life before the day comes. Number 56.
Thank you. Are you in private school? I was thinking probably during school. My dad's first grade.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. They never hear things like that.
Stop that running now, will ya?
Oh, well, you feel whatever you feel that the Lord can do it.
Yeah.